Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and today we are going to celebrate just how much our God loves us, that He has put us all together. We are all together in this worship, or in this fellowship of believers, and we get to help each other, build each other up. We get to help confront each other's sins, and all of that is a privilege God has given us. So we'll see that reflected throughout the day, today in the hymns and the readings and the prayers and so forth. A big welcome to our guests and visitors. If you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask anybody around you, or especially the guys with the green flaps in their pockets. It's their job to help you out, so those are called ushers. They can help you out. We'll begin our worship today with hymn number 490, Love in Christ is Strong and Living. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Ezekiel 33. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord. We now join together as we humbly help confront each other's sins. We remember that we too need forgiveness, and we sing Psalm 51 today to remind us of that. The second lesson this morning comes from Galatians chapter 2, where we see Paul describe the difficult task he had of confronting even one of the pillars of the church, Peter, about his sin. Peter was denying some of the Gentiles and making it seem like they needed to follow God's law like a Jew in order to be saved. Well, Paul does the difficult task of confronting Peter on that for the sake of the gospel. From Galatians chapter 2. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." The word of the Lord. Our verse of the day from Philippians 4 reflects the joy that we have as brothers and sisters together. Alleluia. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Alleluia. Of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Here we see Jesus give instructions to his church on how to lovingly confront a person's sin. From Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if you will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you come to agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask any children who are in the congregation who want to come up for the children's message, meet me at the front. Come on up, and you can actually come up here today. We're going to do something a little bit different today. You guys stand right over here. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, everybody look this way. Can I get a volunteer? Yeah? Want to help? Come on up. All right, you and I are going to come over here. Just him, sorry, just him. You can go back over there, though. You got a very important job coming up. All right. Have you guys ever been to the Grand Canyon? You have? Wow, that's awesome. It's pretty big, isn't it? Yeah? Have you ever been there where you've looked down over the edge? Take a look over the edge. This is the Grand Canyon right here. Wow. Very, very steep. You know, some parts of the Grand Canyon have railings because it's so steep, but some parts don't have railings. Sometimes if you have somebody walking along the edge and they're not paying attention, they're looking up around at the beautiful scenery, they could get close to the edge. If you saw that happen, what would you do? Yeah, say no, 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 no. Right? You would warn them. You don't want them to fall over the edge down into the canyon. So you'd want to warn them. Say, no, 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 no. Well, you know, that same thing. Sorry, I'm going to pull you back here. That same thing actually happens spiritually, too, in this world. Sadly, there are some people who are headed for the drop-off of a canyon, so to speak. That's eternal death. They're headed, and they're looking. They don't realize where they're going, and they're about to fall off and die. And what would you do as a brother or sister? Yeah, no, 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 no. You don't want to do that. Don't go that way. You want to turn and head back to safety. Sometimes you and I don't do that, though. Sometimes we forget that that is what we are to do with other people, especially our Christian brothers and sisters. But thankfully, we know that even though we don't do that, God did that for us. He showed us, no, 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 no. I don't want you to go to eternal death. So he sent Jesus to save us, give us warning, but then also pay the punishment for us. That's right, Wyatt, on the cross. So let's pray and thank God for that privilege of being able to warn each other. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for giving us the privilege of helping lead others away from eternal death and to life. Give us courage to sound that warning, Lord. Amen. Thanks, everybody, for your help. Well done. You saved them today. You can go back to your seats. We'll join together in the hymn of the day that reflects God's love for sinners, hymn 304, Jesus Sinners Does Receive. Note, we'll sing verses 1 through 4.
Thank you.
How beautiful it is when brothers and sisters in Christ live in unity. Amen. The sermon text for this morning comes from Ezekiel chapter 33, the Old Testament lesson for today, which you already heard read. So let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your life. Amen. Have any of you ever been a lifeguard? Oh, I got a few of you. All right. Very good. I always thought that would be such a neat job. To be somebody whose job it is to be on the lookout for anybody in danger and to spring into action and to go help. Your job is to save lives. Lifeguard, right? How cool is that? Person drowning over there? Oh, I better go help. Oh, somebody swimming where they shouldn't be? I better let them know. Sharks coming? All right, everybody. Come on into safety. Can you imagine a lifeguard who was sitting up there on his perch, looking out, sees somebody drowning, but does nothing? What a low life you'd have to be to see somebody in danger like that and not do anything. That'd be like a firefighter driving to a house that's on fire and just watching it go up in flames. That'd be like a policeman or a traffic cop seeing a bus headed straight for somebody, but they didn't shout out a warning or try to stop the bus. Or like God describes right before our sermon text today in Ezekiel 33, that'd be like a watchman on the wall of a city not doing their job. Back in the day, cities had walls around them to protect them from impending doom of enemy armies coming and taking over the city. And yet, there were still some people who lived and worked outside the city walls. What were they supposed to do when danger came? Well, the city appointed watchmen on the walls. And it was their job to survey the horizon, look for an enemy army, and sure enough, if they saw one, they'd sound the horn. Probably sounded exactly like that, too. If they didn't sound the horn and somebody died, that was on them. It was their job to sound the horn so that others could come inside the city walls for safety. But if they didn't and somebody died, they were actually killed for that. In Ezekiel, God calls Ezekiel to be a watchman. And as we read in the gospel lesson in Matthew 18, Jesus calls you to be a watchman. As we find out here in our sermon text, it is a very serious job. And there's good reason for that. Ezekiel was called to be a watchman at a very interesting time in Israel's history. Israel, you know, was supposed to bring forth the Savior, but they kept forsaking the Lord, and it just got to a point where they had had enough. God just thought, okay, that's it. Here's coming a huge example of discipline upon you. I'm going to bring the king of Babylon to destroy your city and take you into exile. Sure enough, some of the Israelites were taken to exile into Babylon. Among those first people taken into exile was Ezekiel when he was 25 years old. A little while later, God calls him as a prophet to be a watchman for his people. He was to sound the warning for those Babylonian exiles, pointing to the fall of Jerusalem as a picture. It was his job to confront their wickedness, but it didn't go so well. They didn't listen. Ezekiel probably thought he was a failure. But what we actually have here in Ezekiel 33 is the second time God calls Ezekiel to be a watchman. It's almost the same exact words, too. The point God was making is you're still a watchman. It's still your job. You can still do this job because the message is the same. And the seriousness of the responsibility, Ezekiel, is the same as well. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die. And you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, That wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Ezekiel, you see a wicked person? Tell them to turn from those ways. Those ways lead to death, and I will punish that. I have to. And if you don't, then I'm going to hold you accountable the same way that a watchman was held accountable for not sounding the alarm for a city. Literally, I will hold you accountable for his blood as I will seek his blood from your hands. That's blood guilt. A wicked person who could have repented if their sin was confronted, but they didn't because Ezekiel didn't confront it. That was on Ezekiel's hands. That was his blood guilt then. If he did and they didn't listen, well, then that was on them. That was their fault. But if he didn't, that blood was on him. How much blood do you think we have on our hands? Can you imagine if we could see the blood guilt on our hands from all of the people we failed to warn? You and I know God's word and what it says about his wrath on wickedness. We know that he is a good God and a good judge, and a good judge has to punish wickedness. He has to. We know about how sin leads to death, an eternal death. We know that we're here to share God's word and to help build each other up and help strengthen each other. That's the whole reason that we're still here on this earth, is to help encourage each other and to share God's word and help confront each other's sins so that everyone can be led to eternal life. Yet so many times we fail as our job as watchmen. So many times we fail to see the impending doom, and if we do see it, we don't say anything. Parents, do you have a son or daughter living with his or her boyfriend or girlfriend, but you ignore it? Church leaders, do you know of somebody who is persisting in an error that goes against God's word, but you think it isn't a big deal? Do you have any family members that are living unrepentantly in a sin that our culture says is okay, but God says is wicked, but you don't care enough to help? Do you have any friends who are living on the path that goes to death, and they don't realize the life that they're forfeiting, and you see it, but you think it isn't that serious? So many times we fail to sound the warning. And yes, there are some times that are delicate, and you have to be very careful with some situations. And yes, we are God's people in this world, but no, we are not his spiritual police. We're not the world's spiritual police. We're not the church's spiritual police hunting down every sin. But how often do we ignore when our brother or sister has this impending doom coming on them because of their unrepentant sin? And how often do we not even see that? Because we're so focused on ourselves, we forget that we indeed are our brothers and sisters' keepers. If you could look down and see the blood guilt on your hands, how much would you see? Not a drop. Not a single drop. Because our God is a good watchman. He's more than that. He was perched up on high, looking down, and he saw that guilt on our hands. He saw that impending doom coming towards us because of that guilt. And so he sounded the warning. Through his law, he struck our hearts so that we could see that blood guilt. But he's more than a watchman. He came down and he stood in between us and that impending doom, and he took the full force of it upon himself. Jesus made that blood guilt his blood guilt. That impending doom that was meant for us, he made it meant for him. He is our substitute. And that blood guilt poured from him. not just from his hands, but from his head and from his feet. Your blood guilt is paid in full. Your hands, clean, because his hands were bloody. And as he lay there, our ultimate watchman, dead in the tomb, the city of God was safe and secure behind him. No more impending doom. How do we know? Because that ultimate watchman did not stay dead in that tomb. With our guilt paid for, death's armies were defeated. That means life, Jesus, God himself, stands in victory. As surely as God lives, and you better believe he does. Oh yes, he lives. As surely as God lives, he has forgiven us all. And he has secured our life. And now that he has given you that life, he has appointed you a watchman. There are so many people around us that just don't realize where their sin is leading them. It is such an important job. People down in Babylon in their exile didn't realize it either. They didn't understand where their sin was leading them. They actually thought God was unjust. They thought God was punishing them for the sins of their forefathers. They thought God was punishing them just for the sake of punishing them. They didn't see their wickedness and the idols that were it was leading them to death. So God gives a message, a warning, through his watchman Ezekiel. He calls Ezekiel son of man, which is a title that shows humility. The son of man given the very words of the living God. That's a humble thing, especially when you look at the message. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I don't want you to die, God says. I don't want anyone to die. I have to punish evil. That's what I do. Because I am a good God and a good judge. I don't just punish for the sake of it. No, I punish the wickedness. I don't want to do that with you. Turn. Turn back to me. I want you to live with me forever. Name one thing wrong with that message. You can't. It's pure goodness. It's pure love. And that is the message that God gave to Ezekiel. And that's the message that he has given to you and me. You are his watchman. You look around and you see that those that you love are in unrepentant sin and where it's leading them. They don't see it, but you do. So you sound the warning. Turn, turn from your wicked ways. Why will you die, O my son or daughter? Turn, turn from that sin that our culture says is okay, but God says is wicked. Turn from it and live. Why will you die, oh my dear family member? Turn, turn back to the Lord. Why will you die, oh my church brother or sister? Turn, turn away from that path to death and go back to life. Why will you die, oh my dear friend? Sometimes there are situations that are delicate, and we have to be careful and wait for just the right moment. But we don't hide behind that. We don't ignore it. We don't make excuses. No. We help lovingly confront the sins of our brothers and sisters because we know that by doing it, we save them from eternal death. We sound the alarm. And if they don't listen, that's on them, not on you. But just because they can listen or refuse to listen does not mean that they will refuse to listen. For 24 chapters, the first 24 chapters of Ezekiel, Ezekiel had warned his people. He used the impending doom of Jerusalem, as a picture for them to repent of their sins, but they just weren't listening. He thought he was a failure. So God encouraged him to keep being their watchman. Historically, we know that the people in exile in Babylon did indeed listen, because they wanted to go back to Jerusalem. They wanted to go back and rebuild their city after it was destroyed. They wanted to rebuild that temple that pointed forward to Jesus, who had shed his blood for the world. They heeded the warning. Ezekiel's work was successful. God was with him. And now it's your job. You are a watchman. It's a tough job. You can have some difficult situations, that's very true, but it's a pretty neat job, too, because you can help save lives. You are a watchman. Who will you help turn from their wicked ways? And who will you help live? Amen. Please stand. May that message of life guard your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus who shed his blood. Until you reach heaven. Amen. Let us now confess our faith in the living God according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. This morning in our prayer of the church, we pray for those with health challenges, including Bev Heinitz, David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Pam Drennan, Janet Rusk, the mother of Melissa Hioko. We also pray and thanks for the anniversaries of Don and Kristen Dagscher, celebrating 24 years of marriage, and Don and Deborah Wirt, celebrating 24 years of marriage. We pray and thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week and include a special prayer for the Bible information class starting tonight. Please stand for the prayer of the church that we will say together responsively on page 10. O Lord God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, and for the promised graces we've received through him. We thank you that in his resurrection we have the promise of life everlasting, and that in his ascension to the right hand of your majesty, we have the assurance that he continually intercedes for us. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Give us courage in moments where we can help guide brothers and sisters to repentance, and give us open hearts to receive in love the rebuke of others. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Continue to show mercy to all those who have suffered injury or illness. Comfort them with your love shown in their Savior, and give them the strength they need to be good examples of how your love can shine through the difficulties of this life. Holy Spirit, strengthen and perfect the love of all married people. Motivated by word and sacrament, give them a rich love for each other and a dedication to forgive as you have forgiven us. Dear Lord, we know that you bless us each and every day. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them the chance to see your grace and reflect that same love to everyone around them. Motivate us all to use the time you give us on this earth to proclaim your name in our words and actions. Father, please pour your blessings on the Bible information class starting tonight. Enlighten everyone's hearts with the message of your grace so they can know just how much you love them. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We join together, and blessed be the tie that binds, printed there in your bulletins.
Let's be the tide that binds all.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, the final two stanzas of Jesus Sinners Does Receive.
Good morning. It was good to be in God's house with you this morning as we were reminded of the life we have in Jesus and the privilege we have of sharing that life with others. Encourage you all to stick around for Sunday school and Bible class following the service this morning, a great opportunity to continue growing in our faith. We've got a healthy list of announcements that preview a very busy stretch coming up at St. Mark's, and the good news about this busyness is that it's evidence that the Holy Spirit is moving God's people to take action, loving their Savior, loving each other. So lots of opportunities to show that love in the weeks to come. First of all, this evening is Pastor Gross Bible Information class beginning. It's going to be held at 5 o'clock, and it's going to meet here in the sanctuary. The good news about meeting in the sanctuary is we're anticipating so many people that we're not going to fit into some of the smaller rooms that we usually hold Bible Information class in. So great opportunity to grow in our faith this evening. Child care will be over in the gymnasium. Also today, from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock, if you're looking for some very cheap family fun, Citrus Heights Sunday Fun Day over at Rush Park. We'll have a St. Mark's booth set up over there, so if you happen to be there, be sure to stop by and say hi, and the kids can spin the prize reel and go home with something fun. Meet the Pastor's Picnic coming up next Saturday. A reminder there that it is a potluck, and when you signed up for it, you indicated what you plan to bring. So please don't forget that that's a potluck, and if you need a reminder of what you signed up for, take a look at the clipboard in the back. A couple Fridays from now, October 6th, we have our Fall Hoedown, a good opportunity for some line dancing and some hay rides and some classic games, and then we also heat up the competition with some chili contest, brownie contest, cornbread contest. So a good family fun Friday evening. The Hoedown on October 6th starts at 5 o'clock. Please sign up in the back if you plan to attend. On Saturday, October 7th, is the LWMS, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, convention. And so that's a great opportunity for women to come together and support mission work. They remind us that today is Mission Box Sunday. So it's the last day to contribute to that offering on the counter in the back. And then there's also a place to sign up if you plan to attend that rally on October 7th. October 8th, Friendship Sunday at St. Mark's. So in your worship booklet this morning, you see this light blue flyer, encouragement, and a little bit of strategy in how you can invite someone close to you to St. Mark's to church on October 8th. And then we also have these little pocket invitations. So as you leave, on the little tables by the side doors, you can pick up as many of these as you'd like, a really easy way to invite someone, or maybe even do a little guerrilla marketing and just drop them at a table where you're eating lunch or something like that. Maybe someone picks it up and sees it and joins us on October 8th, Friendship Sunday. I think the last one, church-related, Pastor Groth would like to invite everyone who has 7th or 8th graders interested in participating in confirmation class to email him. He's going to be doing things a little bit differently this year. It's going to be kind of an online format where parents are actually leading the instruction in the home, and Pastor Groth is going to support them with a monthly meeting, possibly on a Saturday, bring everybody together, kind of give the parents a preview, and also an opportunity for the kids to demonstrate what they're learning. But it is very important that everyone with 7th and 8th graders that wants them in confirmation class emails Pastor Groth about that. Last little announcement related to our school. This coming week, we've got some home volleyball matches on Tuesday. The first one starts at 2:45, so a great opportunity to fill the Lion's Den, support our student athletes as they glorify God with their athletic talents. Finally, this morning, we've got a video that kind of shares the life of our school during the month of September.